Good morning, everybody, and welcome once again to our Chaplain Reflection Call for Wednesdays. Today, I'd like to welcome Monsignor James Watkins, who's been a chaplain for us for the last 15 years in the Washington area. He is now serving as pastor of St. Anne's and is overseeing an additional parish. Additionally, he is the principal chaplain of the sub-priory of Our Lady of Lourdes. And he's also currently, additionally, teaching at the Catholic University of America. So welcome, Monsignor, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Fra Tom, and welcome to all of our knights and dames who join us today. And I greet you all in the Spirit of Christ in this Easter season. By now, so many of us are wondering when this difficult ordeal of the contagion of the coronavirus will be over. Like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus in St. Luke's Gospel, our eyes from time to time may be downcast in fear, anxiety, confusion, or even despair. These feelings may be yours right now, and they were similar feelings, I think, that the early disciples must have had after the death of their beloved Master and Lord that Good Friday 2,000 years ago. Their world, like ours in a way, was turned upside down in a quick moment. Here, they had the joy of welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, only to witness and experience everything fall apart within 5 days. He was taken from them by the hypocritical liars of his own day and crucified before their eyes. The world as they knew it was grossly unjust, with its own versions of political unrest, plagues, earthquakes, and fires. Even the Son of God was not immune to the disease of man's sin, which pinned him to the cross. So our world today is turned on its head, and we find ourselves, like the disciples, with eyes cast down, wondering, and afraid. What will the future hold in store for us, we ask? Is there any reason to explain all of this? Why, Lord, we might say. The same kinds of questions and confusion which must have overwhelmed the early disciples that first Good Friday are similarly ours. In a way, nothing has really changed in one sense then as now. For several weeks now, none of us could have imagined the situation we are experiencing. Yet we are beginning to find our own new routine of coping and managing the situation as best we can. We're getting somewhat used to the new order, even though we may think we can all go back to the same routine when it's all over, but perhaps not exactly as before. Current circumstances have prevented us from gathering for Mass, especially on Sundays. Without the public offering of Mass, though, we are still united by bonds of faith, hope, and love, and through our personal prayer and sacrifices, we can mature spiritually. So let's reflect on the disciples and their experience 2,000 years ago, in light of ours today. Their eyes were downcast. They were depressed and fearful, lonely, and abandoned. In the midst of all that experience, powerful as it was, and powerful as it is for us too under our own circumstances, Jesus appears to them and does what he so brilliantly always does. He asks a question. What are you discussing as you walk along? He knows what they're talking about, of course. He knows everything. But he asks because he wants them to reveal their need, their desire, their hearts to him. They respond in so many words, "Don't you know, Lord?" Imagine Jesus not having a clue. He asks another question, "Well, what sort of things are you talking about?" Then finally, our divine Lord admonishes them with the words, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe." In our Lord's perfected human nature, in glorified flesh and blood, he continues to show pity. "Don't you get it?" our Lord could well ask in a contemporary tone. Or, "After all that I've taught you, and after all that I've done for you, after all that was prophesied about me, after all that I said would happen, after all of this, you still don't believe me?" It's almost as though Jesus has had it with them. He's not angry. No, he's just tired of their unbelief. So he might well ask another question. "What will it take for me to convince you again that I am alive and risen from the dead?" Maybe he's tired, too, of our unbelief. Tired, perhaps, of just no belief at all. I wonder. So what does he do? He represents one of the most beautiful and powerful memories they had of him. Holy Thursday night at the Last Supper. He goes in to have supper with them. St. Luke writes, "And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him." Isn't that, dear brothers and sisters, what our divine Lord does for us even now? He represents himself under the forms of bread and wine, as he's done since that first Mass on Holy Thursday, and says those immortal words, "This is my body, this is my blood." That's what the disciples remembered most, it seems. Jesus had changed the ritual of the Passover meal that holy night before his death with those incredible words. And these are the very same words said over the elements of bread and wine today, at this Mass and every Mass in the world, since that first Mass was celebrated personally by our High Priest, Jesus the Christ. And this was one of the most powerful moments for his young Jewish followers. It had never been done before. So he takes all the Old Testament's law and prophets and fulfills them perfectly in himself. We don't need to look too far to find the entire truth of God and man outlined and beautifully orchestrated than in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, the divine human, God-man. At the very moment he said those immortal words in the disciples' presence, their eyes were opened, and they remembered immediately not what was going on, but who it was in their midst. They recognized him. Can you imagine their shock, their exhilarating joy? It must have caused them to cry with tears of love and profound gratitude. He was alive. He was not dead. He had returned to them. He had not lied. He had not given them false hopes. He had not promised what he would not do. They were not abandoned. They had been found again. They had regained their belief, this time a belief beyond any doubt. No more fear. No more anxiety. They were at peace. So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem to tell the others. Note that Jesus doesn't tell the others himself. He expects them to tell the others. He expects us to tell the others. And what shall we say to the others? We can't say anything to others until we ourselves are convinced in faith beyond doubt that Jesus is Lord and God and has been raised from the dead. And so, my dear knights and dames, for 2,000 years of faith and belief in the resurrection, this is what we have under our belts. The two disciples in that gospel had roughly 3 years of Jesus' ministry and only 3 days to mourn his death. If our Lord were to find us now on the road, with eyes downcast, with hearts heavy with fear and doubt and despair, would we recognize him as they did in the breaking of the bread? Isn't that what happens at every Mass? Isn't that our Catholic belief? That's why the Mass is Jesus' gift to us. It is through his church, his body and his blood on earth made possible again and again and again until the end of time, so we can recognize him again and again and again, and so that we can go out then and tell others that good news. With all that in mind and heart today, as we walk along our own road, whatever road you travel today, at home alone or with some family or friends, raise your eyes up, if you can, in faith, and make that spiritual communion and say with St. Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Say with the disciples, "Lord, stay with us." Stay with the church for 2,000 years. Stay with our order of Malta for over 900 years. Amen, I believe, we might say. We have so much to give thanks for today. Let our eyes be opened and recognize him in the breaking of the bread. For the bread that is broken is his life for the world, and the wine becomes his blood poured out for our sins. Yes, our Lord desires to have supper with us once again, and once again Jesus wants us to recognize him in the breaking of the bread, as did those first disciples 2 millennia ago. If our eyes have become closed because of fear or doubt or despair, or for any other reason under today's circumstances, let our eyes now be reopened, opened again, to recognize our Lord and God who stays with us today who stays with us through our church, always until we see him face to face and behold him in glorified body and glorified blood at the eternal banquet of heaven. 50 days of Easter joy to all of you. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. And now we pray together, asking the lively intercession of Our Lady of Phalermos, on whose patronage our order is given, when we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. St. John the Baptist, pray for us. Blessed Fra Gerard, pray for us. All you holy men and women of heaven, pray for us now and always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Monsignor. This was a very nice time that we were all able to spend with you this morning. And I would like to conclude now with our daily prayer. Lord Jesus, thou hast seen fit to enlist me for thy service in the order of St. John of Jerusalem. I humbly entreat thee through the intercession of the Most Holy Virgin of Phalermo, of St. John the Baptist, Blessed Gerard, and all the saints, to keep me faithful to the traditions of our order. Be it mine to practice and defend the Catholic, the Apostolic, the Roman faith against sacrilege. Be it mine to practice charity towards my neighbors, especially the poor and sick. Give me the strength I need to carry out this my resolve, forgetful of myself, learning ever from thy holy gospel, a spirit of deep and generous Christian devotion, striving ever to promote God's glory, the world's peace, and all that may benefit the order of St. John of Jerusalem. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for being with us today. Next week, we will join once again for our Wednesday call. Bye now.